You're listening to the Best Morning Routine Ever podcast, the show that proves no one stumbles upon success ever. With your host, Lou Need. Every Mondays and Thursdays, we deliver cold hard evidence behind the power of a robust morning routine. Get ready to be transformed by the renewal of your mind.
Welcome to the Best Morning Routine Ever podcast with your host, Looney Lewis. Today, I am honored to have Jen Carter from Virginia. Jen is a conscious scientist, a biologist with extensive training and almost a decade of teaching yoga and meditation. She makes meditation, mindfulness, and yoga accessible to all. She brings her own unique background and cross-disciplinary approach to all that she does, and she helps everyone find balance, flow, and awareness, and just look within. She works with Dr. Jess Norris to help organizations with stress management, and she is co-founder of the Humanization Project, and she will tell us all about that. Jen, welcome to the show.
Hi, Lanid. It's nice to be here.
Good to have you on. Today we're going to talk about meditation. We're going to talk about yoga, and you are going to share with us, what do we do when life feels like it's falling apart, right? We are going to talk about manifestation a little bit. We're going to discuss your robust morning routine and meditation techniques that our listeners can apply after having this conversation. Go ahead and tell us a little bit about your science background and how that transitioned over to yoga and meditation, and what's the link?
Of course. So I'll try to keep it brief because it can be a lengthy story. But when I was growing up, I always wanted to be a biologist. I always wanted to work with animals, and I felt like I had this calling to help, as we say, save the planet. And so I had become a conservation biologist and was working for the Smithsonian, and I was stationed out in Hawaii. And the short version of what I do is that my boss and I, at the time, we were the only two people on the planet who were using human fertility techniques to conserve coral reefs. So in layman terms, we were going around the world freezing coral sperm for conservation.
Wow.
Right. So kind of strange. And if you just think about, you know, if you were going to a human fertility technique, all the things they would do, they would check out the sperm and see the motility and then freeze some so you could use it later, all those kinds of things. And we were doing the same thing for coral. It was really rewarding, really, really good work. But a few different things happened. I had the realization that all the science in the world isn't going to save the planet unless people decide that, one, they want to believe it, and two, they want to use it, right? All the answers can be there, but if people don't make the choices to use it, it just doesn't matter. And one of those things that made me realize that was the fact that a lot of times we were really struggling for money, and then I was watching what people actually spend money on and thinking like, wow, there's like this total disconnect. You know, who cares if you can spend money on all these other things if you can't breathe in 50 years? Like, it's just not going to matter. And so I at the same time had gotten certified to teach yoga, and I was finding that yoga was making me a lot happier. Science was a bit stressful. And so yoga was making me happier. But also the way that I teach yoga, I teach a lot of philosophy, and I teach meditation, which are all parts of the yoga practice. It's not just the physical yoga. And so I was seeing that by teaching yoga in the way that I do, I can help people feel better and help people make those better choices, help people want to do the things that we all need to do to have a better world. And so for me, making that shift, one, was making me feel better, but also still getting at that ultimate goal of trying to help our planet be better, trying to help save the planet. So
raising mindfulness around science.
Exactly. And so, and it doesn't just have to be around the science. It can be smaller things like, you know, if you don't feel good and somebody's telling you like, oh, you should recycle that can, and you're like, whatever, I don't want to walk the extra, you know, 20 yards to the recycle thing. I'm going to dump it in the trash so I can go ahead and go home. Or, you know, things like that, that are smaller. It doesn't just have to be this big awareness of these huge things, but all these small things that we do, that are choices we can make in our daily lives, that when we feel good, it's easier to make those choices. And then the other thing that was happening that sort of, I had known I wanted to switch careers for a while, but I wasn't quite sure how that was going to look. And the other thing that ended up happening was, as I was trying to figure out how this career shift was going to happen, I was thinking living in Hawaii is really expensive. I don't know if it makes sense to start a business here. And so I had thought about coming back to the mainland. And then at the same time, I ended up falling in love with my best friend, who had been my best friend for almost 20 years. And he is currently wrongfully incarcerated here in Virginia. And so I decided to make the career shift and then come back here to help him. We have a pardon petition in to the governor and a few things. And so I'm helping him and just being closer to him.
That explains you are truly a servant at heart and servant leader, because you are now working on criminal justice reform.
Yes. So he is a really amazing human being. He is a criminal justice professor and sociologist before he went in. And so these things are really, he's very passionate about these things. And so we've started an organization together that seeks to humanize people behind bars by sharing their stories, by connecting criminal justice students with people behind bars for them to start conversations and a few different things. So we have quite a lot going on with that.
Good segue here. What is it like having a partner in prison? Because you started the organization together and you're working on it while he is inside. What's that like for you?
It's really intense. I think that's one thing that most people don't think about when they think about people going to prison. They think about the person who is in prison, but they don't think about how that impacts the lives of their loved ones.
Right.
And so it's this thing that has to be navigated every day, from just being able to answer the phone when he calls, because sometimes you don't know when he can call, and that's really his only contact for the day,
wow,
you know, with me or his family when he calls them, to, like, you know, going there on the weekends for visitation and navigating that. And then, you know, all of the little tiny things where, like, you know, Christmas should be really happy, but then you're faced with the, you know, the realization that he's not there. Or, I mean, on top of holidays, sometimes every single night when I go to bed, like, he should be there and he is not. So I think people don't really think about all that, how it impacts. It doesn't just impact the people that go to prison. It has this ripple effect outward.
That affects the whole community at large, if you think about it, because your whole life, if it feels like it's falling apart, because we're connected. We're supposed to be in relationships, right? And if that's ripped from you,
yes,
then how do you thrive? How do you focus on what's important? How do you focus
exactly
on your daily just work and living a healthy and happy
exactly
life? Especially as a meditation teacher, you understand the need to actually have that zen and collectiveness.
Yes. I've always felt like if I didn't have my yoga practice, if I didn't have my meditation practice, I don't know how I would get through that.
How you would deal.
Yeah.
You've mentioned meditation has, if you didn't have your practice, you don't know how you would be able to deal with this on a daily basis. What have you been doing? And what advice do you have for people when it feels like a loved one is gone? It's a fight every day. It's a fight to get up and they feel like life is falling apart and things are falling apart. How do you keep it together? How can you advise them to do the same?
Yeah, well, you know, I teach yoga and meditation, so I feel like that's a really important thing to get into. But if it's not something that you're familiar with, you know, it's really about taking the time to find the ways to take care of yourself. So a lot of times you feel like, you know, you've got to do this for them and do that for them and be there all the time. But if you don't take the moments and take care of yourself, then you're going to get burnt out and not be able to help them either. And so finding those things that you can do are really important. For me, those things are meditation and yoga, but it can be other things for different people. So it's really about searching within yourself and figuring those things out.
Yes. Yeah, so thinking of self-care.
Yes, exactly.
Self-care is important in that matter, because if you're not good to yourself, if you're ill, if you're unable to get up, if you're unable to be active, then you're no use to anyone else. And so it's important to take care of yourself physically and mentally, is what I'm hearing from you. Now, I know you are an expert in manifestation and manifesting what we want in our lives. Can you share a little with our audience? What is manifestation and how do we do it?
Sure. I think a lot of times people think that sounds like very foo-foo and like, what in the world are you talking about? But really, the practice of yoga has a lot to say about manifestation if you get into the more philosophical and the more meditation aspects of it. And it's really about getting yourself into the feeling of what you want in your life and then setting clear intentions about what you want. And when you do that, then you're more likely to recognize those opportunities and moments that the universe puts in front of you and take those. If you're not really clear about what you want, it's hard to get there. And so when you can take the time, put yourself in the mindset and the feeling of how you want to feel, and then be really clear on what it is that you want, then that's how those things can manifest in your life. Sometimes they manifest by you, you know, going to school, doing the steps, the logical steps, and doing the work. So it's not like you can just sit there and just manifest things. But sometimes
action is necessary.
Right. You have to have action. But then sometimes you'll see if you set the clear intention and you take some sort of action, then sometimes the universe will put it in front of you in a way that you didn't even realize was possible. You know, you don't have to have it completely figured out, but you have to have that clear intention and that willingness to try. And then sometimes the universe will just say, there you go.
So clear, definitive goals. Having some knowing precisely what you want and describing it to the minute detail, right? From the color, if it's a car, the color of the car, the smell of the car.
Exactly.
If we want to get that descriptive. And it could be for any dream, because I know I've done it myself to actually attract certain things into my life, attract the kind of men I want in my life, attract the kind of friends I want in my circle, attract the kind of the business. It's just a mindset of not just wishing and foo-foo, as you mentioned, but actually intently, intensely focusing on the, what the goal is, the desire is.
Yeah. And I would offer up getting really clear, but not being so married to it a certain way. So like you kind of have to get clear, but also be easy. Like if you get too set on something, sometimes it's almost like you'll pinch it off, like you pinch off the flow and it won't quite come. So you have to have like sort of an easiness about your intention, if that makes any sense.
That's just an aha moment for me. So you pinch the flow. So you are restricting it if you are too rigid.
Exactly. Yep.
Interesting. Yeah, I never thought about it that way. Thank you for sharing.
Of course.
Okay, so tell us a little bit about your morning routine. You know, as an entrepreneur and all that you've gone through, no one stumbles upon success. Success leaves clues. It leaves a trail. And I strongly believe it starts with a morning routine. So please tell us about your effective morning habits.
Sure. There's three things that I always do in the morning for my morning routine. The first thing I do when I wake up, honestly, usually is pet my cat because he's usually there and purring. But he has a little bit to do with the first thing I do anyway. So I open up a little journal that I have next to my bed and I write three things that I'm grateful for. This is an adaptation of something called the 5-minute journal that you can look up. I don't actually have the journal, but I do my own little version of it. So I write three things that I'm grateful for. I write three things that would make the day great. And then I write three affirmations for the day. And then I usually pet my cat and my dog a little bit because it just makes me feel happy. And I think if you can get into a mindset of feeling good from the beginning of the day, then that'll set the tone for the rest of the day. So I usually kind of talk to them a little bit. And then I stretch a little. I don't do like a rigorous strengthening yoga practice in the morning, but I stretch a little and then I meditate. And I don't meditate for a tremendous amount of time in the morning. Sometimes it's just 7 minutes. Sometimes it's about 12 minutes. But I sit and meditate. Different meditation techniques I do. It's not always the same, but I do sit in the morning. And I think that's the most important part of my morning routine, is making sure to take that time to sit.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Just that quiet moment, having that before you let the world in, having a time to yourself, giving yourself 5 minutes. Psychologists and doctors have actually proved that the first 8 minutes, what you do in the first 8 minutes actually sets the tone for the rest of the day.
Right.
And so you petting and your pet is actually, you're connecting. It's human connection. You know, we thrive on that. We need that.
Yeah.
And so I love that you take care of that first thing in the morning. And in the gratitude journal, it is big. Oprah Winfrey does a gratitude journal. She has tons and tons of them on her nightstand. You list, you say three things that you are grateful for.
Yeah, three things. Yeah. And I think that's having gratitude is also an aspect of manifesting what you want. If you can show gratitude for the things that already exist in your life, then you're more likely to attract more things that you want.
I agree. I absolutely agree, because it will breed more of that same thing. And the opposite happen. The opposite effect is if you're thinking about negative, or you're focusing, you're waking up complaining, you're only going to continue to bring that into your day. You're gonna, and in your mind, it's just going to be just overwhelmed with negativity. But if you take that moment to say, I am grateful today, I am thankful today, and these are the things, and list them out, that is going to bring more. It's simply as, how are you doing today? Oh, I'm okay. I'm doing all right. People ask me how I'm doing. I reply, I am blessed. How are you? And then that, I say that because I want to attract more blessings into my life, into my day, and just into my thinking. It's that mindset. You mentioned that you meditate. So tell us, how can regular people incorporate meditation into their lives? For those that don't know how to do it, that actually never even attempted, because they can't quiet their mind, right? It is racing, anxiety. So how can they, regular people like myself, learn to meditate?
My number one piece of advice is to seek out a teacher, because when you just try to start it on your own, a lot of times it can be very daunting and you have these feelings of like, I'm doing it wrong, this isn't working. And as a meditation teacher, I try to emphasize to people that you're not doing it wrong and it is working, even when it feels like it isn't. I also tell people the goal, even though it seems like the goal is not to make your mind be silent. The goal is to make your mind stop fluxing about. And so there's many different meditation techniques. You don't just have to sit and be quiet. You can have your mind do a meditation technique, which basically becomes a task for your mind to do. And then in doing that task, your mind naturally stops doing the worrying and the thinking and all those other things that you're trying to get it to stop doing. And then once you use a particular technique, then oftentimes you get to that place where you can drop the technique away and then sit in the stillness and the calmness of your mind. So the idea that, you know, you have to just sit and make your mind be quiet, I think is not the right idea as far as meditation goes. But there's many different techniques. And my number one piece of advice as far as that goes is, if you try a technique, if you try a certain way of meditating and it doesn't work for you and you don't enjoy it, there's other things to do and other ways to try. So find a teacher, or, you know, Google different techniques and just try different things.
Thank you for sharing that, because I think a lot of people needed to hear that it is working. It's a matter of practicing. It's a matter of doing it day in and day out. That's what the routine is. That's how you build habit. It is build doing it one day at a time and over again until you get better at it. Yeah. And I absolutely agree with you. The mind does eventually quiet down, because if you imagine, if the average person, right, say I'm 34 years old, it took me 34 years of just chaos and madness and just rancid thoughts in my mind. And I'm gonna think, just by sitting for 10 minutes, one day, all that is going to vanish. It's not realistic. Yeah. It does take time. It does take giving being patient with yourself as well.
Yes, I would offer that up as well as something to keep in mind. Be kind to yourself first and foremost when you start to meditate, because, you know, if you're hard on yourself about it, it's really not going to come. It's like that whole pinching it off thing. If you're so focused on, I have to make my mind be quiet, I have to make my mind be quiet, and you're being sort of mean to yourself about it, it's really not going to happen. So be kind to yourself. And also realize that your mind is an amazing thing, and the fact that it thinks all those thoughts is amazing. And so if you can sort of come to be amazed with it and step back from it and just kind of watch it go, sometimes that alone will help it get quiet, because you kind of just stop getting caught up in the stories of it and step back a little bit and just watch it and say, wow, you know, this is kind of amazing that my mind can do all these things.
Yes, absolutely. The vast knowledge that is up there. And just we got to be able to not let it run us, not let it control us, right. But actually that awareness that you teach on a daily basis and you teach organizations is to be that mindfulness. Be aware of your thoughts. Mm-hmm. Be the observer of your thoughts. And therefore you will gain freedom and be liberated in that way. I absolutely agree. What are the three simple meditation techniques that our listeners can apply today to start learning how to meditate and how to do yoga to actually quiet their mind and actually gain some peace?
Sure. The most simple meditation technique, I think, for most people that's really easily accessible is to follow your breath. And so it's really as simple as that. You can have your eyes closed or you can have them open. You can do open-eyed meditation, but just feel your breath flowing in and out and keep your mind on your breath. And then when your mind starts to wander, bring it back to the breath. Another one of my favorite meditation techniques is to pick a word that conveys an emotion that you would like to feel. And every time you breathe in, just silently say that word to yourself. And every time you breathe out, just let it go. And you can sit for a few minutes like that and get yourself into a state of mind that you want to be in. That one's really useful if you're trying to like go into a meeting or something and you have like a yucky day and you want to be feeling different, or you're going to go, you know, see a friend and you want to be feeling different. So you can kind of use that one to shift how you're feeling, which I think can be quite profound. A lot of times we feel like we're in at the mercy of our emotions. And really, we can take a moment and pick an emotion, right?
Right. The freedom to choose, to choose our words, to choose our thoughts. Mm-hmm. We sometimes forget all about that. And that is a great segue to affirmations.
Yeah.
The need for positive affirmation, telling ourselves something else, tricking our mind to believing it feels a certain way when it's not actually there yet. It's not quite reality, but we are convincing it. And the magical part is it believes it.
Yeah, I mean, fake it till you make it is a thing, and it sounds like a bad thing, but it's not, you know? My mom used to tell me when I was a kid, if I wasn't feeling good, to go outside and smile, and I would always be like, what are you talking about? But it's true. Yeah. like, just do it.
Share with us some of the affirmations. I know my affirmation is always on a daily basis, and I make it a thing to listen to 10-minute of audio affirmation, positive affirmation. Per se, I am blessed. I am talented. I am business savvy. I am beautiful, and I smile. I am a great communicator. Just things I tell myself where I lack, where I have some insecurities, so I can again reframe my mind that I am those things. And I will wake up, and I have woken up one day and I was like, I am those things. I have become those things, and it's manifested itself.
Yeah.
And because I'm not repeating the negative story, I'm putting a positive spin to it. So tell us what are your three affirmations that you recite on a daily basis for your routine?
Yeah, mine change on a daily basis. It depends on what's going on. I almost always say I am happy. And I love to say things are always working out for me. And I always love to say the universe always has my back. But yeah, mine change almost daily depending on what's going on. Sometimes they're really specific as far as like, this particular talk is going to go well today or something like that.
Yes. Yes, absolutely. I did that. I went for a run before this this interview and I was like, it's going to be a great interview. We're going to have a great conversation. We're going to dignify the minds of our listeners. Nice. So positive affirmation. Absolutely.
Yeah.
how can our listeners, where can our listeners connect with you to find out about your training courses and your collaboration with Dr. Jess Norris and teaching organizations?
Of course. So it's really, really easy to find me. So my name is Jin, like the drink. So it's G-I-N. And so all of my website, all my social media, they're all Yoga with Jin. So Yoga with G-I-N, all written out, one word, .com, and Facebook and Instagram and Twitter. So really easy to find. If you're specifically wanting the stress management, you can go to yogawithjin.com/stressmanagement, and there'll be a link there to pop you over to Dr. Jess and I's online course. And you can always send me an email, jin@yogawithjin.com, if you want to book us for stress management, or if you want to do yoga with me online, I do that, or in person.
Absolutely. All right, morning enthusiasts, this is Jin Carter sharing on the power of manifestation, the need to have a gratitude journal in place in the morning to be grateful and thankful for what you already have in your life, because that will only attract more of what you want and desire. Jin also talked about the tips for yoga and meditation, and she reiterated that it is working, even when it doesn't feel like it is. Just be patient with yourself. Morning enthusiast, if you do these three things, I will see you at the top of your best morning routine ever. Jin, I want to thank you for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
You have a blessed day. I will talk to you soon.
All right, sounds good.
All right, morning enthusiasts, that's it for today's show. Thank you for tuning in. If you love the Best Morning Routine Ever podcast, we'd love to hear from you. So go ahead and subscribe, rate, and give a review on iTunes or Google Play. While you're at it, tell a friend about the show. Be sure to visit bestmorningroutineever.com and our Facebook group to join the conversation, access the show notes, and discover our fantastic free bonus content. Until next time.